We appreciate these songs today and appreciate the Lord and for all that He has done and for His blessings upon each and every one of us that He has provided for us today. God has been good to us, every one of us, in spite of everything else. It doesn't matter what the report may have been yesterday or even maybe today. God has still blessed us above what we deserve and given us more than we could ever hope for. And knowing Him as our Lord and Savior, and also by knowing that when we leave this world, how many of you know that if God was to call time to an end for you today, that heaven would be your eternal resting place? If you know that today, we ought to be able to thank Him and to praise Him in our gathering here this morning. In the book of Jeremiah, in the 8th chapters, where we'll be reading from one verse and then going over today for to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter as well, is where the Lord has led our hearts to go. And I need to, while you turn over there, let me say that we need to be praying. Brother Kenny Banks is over at Olive Branch this morning, preaching for them today and tonight. And we need to be much in prayer for them as our sisters in the Lord and sister church, and also for Kenny and Della. 1 year ago was when their son passed away, and we need to lift them up in our prayers this morning that God would just be with them and bless them. But in the book of Jeremiah, in the 8th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, many of you don't have to turn there because you know this verse. You've heard it so many times that you could probably recite it. But in the 8th chapter and the 20th verse, he said that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Then in the book of Luke, as we turn over there to verse 24 first, and then verses 27 through 28. In verse 24, and he said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And then verse 27 and verse 28, he says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send them to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And stop reading there in verse 28, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And for a few minutes this morning, I'd like to use for a text for this message, simply entitled, Regrets. Regrets. And as the Lord laid this upon my heart, I feel that these two passages of Scripture, where we went in Jeremiah and the book of Luke, probably tells, even without giving you a text this morning, tells that you can read and see the regrets that is in those verses. In the book of Jeremiah, he said that the harvest is past. The summer is ended. This morning and yesterday morning, we had a crude awakening that we know that the summer is now past. The fall is about to pass us by, and the harvest is about gone. I don't know if Jeremiah was so broken that the harvest was past and the summer was ended, more so than he had regrets over that he said, and we're not saved. He was looking at them being in Babylonian captivity, and he was saying that another year has gone by and we're still under the Babylonian Empire's command, and we've not been saved. Time has gotten away from us, and this year has flown, and no doubt every one of us is wondering, where did time go to? But what really is upon my heart is that as we come to the end of another season, is that so many of our people that we have been praying for are still lost and undone without God. Can you read that and feel the passion that Jeremiah had? Here we are, we're still prisoners. Our people are still locked up, and they don't have the freedoms that they once had. by being able to hold on to the Lord and on to the church. Many of our people today, that time is getting away from all of us. And even though that if I was to ask for a lifting of hands, when we look over our lives, many of us have got regrets. And I'm not saying this in a way that you haven't heard it or thought about it in times past. There's probably not a one of us in the house today that if we had the opportunity wouldn't go back and change some things that has happened along our life's path. I'm thankful for the life that God has given to me, Brother Wayne, but still, even with God being good to us, God gives us the liberty, and there's some decisions that we've all made that if we could go back, if we could circle back to them, we might make it a little bit different, a decision than what we did the first time. And I say we might. You know why I say might? Because you and I wouldn't be where we're at today had not the Lord allowed us to walk through those places, make those decisions only to show us that we're not able to keep ourselves, but we're kept by a higher power. Yeah. Jeremiah and this rich man both, and what they said in these verses, you can just feel the regrets that is there. I thought about the apostles. They had regrets. David had regrets. Solomon had regrets. The Bible says that even Judas Iscariot had a regret. He regretted that he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and after he did it, he tried to take the money back, but they wouldn't receive it, so he went out and he hanged himself. He had regrets. Even Pilate and his wife had regrets. You remember, Pilate's wife told him, "Leave this man alone. I've had some dreams and I've had some feelings, and you want to leave this man alone." And even he didn't want to crucify Jesus, but the crowd cried out. And no doubt after he made that decision to release Barabbas, when the world was turned to darkness and there was tremors and there was lightning and thundering, and no doubt he looked as those people walked by and he said, "I regret that I allowed them to crucify this man, Jesus Christ." We've all had regrets. But the saddest part about this is that when we as God's people, if I can preach it like this for a few minutes, and then we'll get down to where I feel that God wants me to go, is that we ought to have the same sadness as Jeremiah, because our people are still lost and undone without God. Some of them that we've been praying for a long time are still away from the house of the Lord. Some of them are still living life as though they're going to live and live and live, not knowing that today could be their last day that they have. Yes, even though we as God's people may have had some regrets about our lives, some things that we may have done different, there's one thing that I don't regret, and that is that I claimed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior a long time ago. And folks, I have never regretted the day that I bowed down and asked for forgiveness of my sins and my life. Never regretted today. I have never regretted the fact that every morning it's God that wakes me up and walks with me all day long. I've never regretted the fact that it's God that watches over us and over our family and over our church family. And when everybody else is in so much confusion about what to do and where to go, I'm glad that I've got the man that's in control of the whole world and the universe watching over us and giving us the life that we have today. You say, "Well, you mentioned you had regrets." But folks, when it comes to the church and God, I have no regrets for knowing Him as my Lord and Savior. No apologies needed. The best thing we ever did do was when we asked the Lord to save our dying souls and deliver us out from underneath the bondage of the devil and hell and destruction. The best thing we ever did. Regret means that there is some thought that's gone into the decision or the process. The regret means that there is a decision that you have made or a choice that you have made that you wish that you could change. Regret means that there's an opportunity that has passed you by that you wish that you could go back and reclaim. Some of us have had opportunities in our life that passed us by. And folks, I want to put this in before I finish this message up, that there are some decisions that we make in life that come to the end of our life. It wouldn't have mattered which way that we went. Wouldn't matter what kind of car you drove. Won't matter what kind of house you lived in, where you worked at, what you owned, what you didn't own. When it comes to the end, it won't matter one iota. But what does matter is what you have done with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because if you reject Him, He said when it comes time for you to leave, that He will laugh at your day of calamity. The rich man, when we look at him in this, and I didn't read all of the verses that goes along with this in the book of Luke, but if you read all about that, the Bible says that this rich man fared sumptuously every day. And Lazarus, who laid at his gates just begging for the crumbs that fell from his table, he said that the rich man had the good things and Lazarus had the evil things. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. If you looked at him, you would think the rich man had everything and Lazarus had nothing. How many of our people today look at us and say, those bunch of holy rollers? They don't have anything and they don't even know what they're worshiping. But let me tell you, I might not have anything, but I do know who I worship today. I worship the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I worship the one who cried out to him and said, Father of David, out of David's throne. I know who I worship today. I know who my Redeemer is and I know that He's coming again to receive us. The Bible says that this rich man looked like he had everything. No regrets at all in his life because he fared sumptuously each and every day. He probably had the finest table to sit at and the finest foods that was delivered unto him by his servants. But there was a man that the world probably looked at that laid at the gates of his house. Can you see this? While he was faring sumptuously there down the road at the gates, that there was a man that laid there that people probably looked at him and said, his whole life is filled with regrets because here he is, he has nothing. And this rich man that he wants the crumbs from his table has everything. But what the people did not know is that though on the outside it looked like the rich man had everything, his life was lacking the most important thing that any of us today that need to consider is that he did not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. This poor man that laid at his gates, that the world probably laughed at, Larry, and probably made fun of as they walked by or drove by going to the rich man's house. They said, look at this poor beggar that's laying here. Has nothing at all in his life. But what the world did not know is that somewhere along the way, that poor man that laid at the gates of the rich man, somewhere somebody told him about a God that loved him and a God that could save him and deliver him. And somewhere, folks, and I just feel like preaching for a few minutes of time, somewhere in his lifetime, he bowed down at an altar of grace and called upon Jesus. And he got the most important thing that there is in life so that he could die with no regrets. I have no regret over what I did or what I had to do or where I lived at or what the things that I had to go through in this life because I'm dying, because I've got a heaven to gain. I've got a place to go to. Folks, and can I put this in? Because this is what excites me more than anything else. When it comes my time to leave, I have no regrets over knowing Jesus Christ. Because, folks, I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell for all eternity. Because He delivered me when I called upon His name. And because of that, yes, I have regrets over some of the decisions I've made in this life. some times that I've spent, some things that I have done, and things that, and when it comes to that, I'm talking about that sometimes I look back over my life, and you as Christians, how many of us today wish that we had spent more time with the Lord and that we'd been more dedicated to the church and that we had tried to tell more about Jesus Christ? But when it comes time for me to leave, I won't leave here with the regret that this rich man did. I won't have to leave here with the regret knowing that I could have been in heaven. But folks, I not just could have been there, but I am going to heaven when my life ends down here. People say, you sound awfully sure. If I wasn't sure, I would find an altar and call out upon the one who could change my destination. The rich man had regrets. He had regrets that he had no doubt. The Bible doesn't give this, but let me give you my thought. He probably looked at over there in Father Abraham's bosom, and he saw that poor beggar that's laid to his gate. No doubt, probably the thought come to his mind, I should have been better to him than what I was while I was alive and he was alive. I should have been better. I should have tried to take better care of him, because here now he's in comfort and I am in torments. He probably looked at him and said, even as the scripture said, he said, would this man that I would have nothing to do with, look at this church, this man that I would have nothing to do with is over there in paradise in Father Abraham's bosom, and here I am in this place of hell and destruction, and although I wouldn't have anything to do with him, Father Abraham, would you allow him to just take his finger and dip it in water and place it on the tip of my tongue? Look at that. You know what amazes me? And folks, I say this to the glory of God, that when our people get in trouble, when your co-workers get in trouble, when your neighbors get in trouble, even though they may laugh at you behind your back, they may scorn you, when it comes time of need, you know who it is that they go to? They go to those that they know have a relationship with God and that is able to help them. This rich man said, I see him up there. Send him back with just a drop of water to put to the tip of my tongue that it might cool me and give me some relief in this awful place. But Abraham told him, or God told him, I should say, he said, not so. Abraham can't come to where you're at. Hallelujah. And you can't come to where he's at, because there's a great gulf fixed between the two of you. Folks, every regret we have in this life is nothing compared to those that's in hell and destruction with the regret that they have. This rich man said, well, if you won't help me, would you send him back? Send Lazarus back. You see, his whole household knew Lazarus. Would you send Lazarus back to warn my five brother not to come to this awful place? See, his whole life was filled with regret. In yonder's world, I've made some good decisions. I was rich, I was wealthy, and I was well taken care of. But can you read between the lines in this man saying, but there was one thing that I regret. I regret that I didn't know the God of that little beggar boy that laid at the gates, that the dogs come and licked his sores. I regret that I didn't talk to him and I didn't find out who his God was. And I believe every day in this world there are people that are dying with regrets. They're dying with the regret. The greatest regret is this. Is that they don't know Jesus, Brother Bill, when it comes time for them to leave. And folks, once your eyes are closed in death, it's too late. It's too late. He said, send him back. But Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to one, though he rose from the dead. Today, in this message entitled Regrets, folks, I just want to tell you that there is nothing in this world that's worth dying and going to hell for. This man had to spend eternity with all of his regret about not knowing Jesus Christ. And let me put it this way. Eternity is a long time to live with regret. People say, what kind of regret is there? First of all, there's the regret that you didn't have to die and go to heaven. Jesus died so that we all could live in heaven above. There's also the regret that while you're in pain and suffering in that awful place, that you'll be made to look afar off. And while you're in pain and suffering, you'll see those rejoicing around the throne of God. People say, that's not scripture. Did not the rich man see Lazarus over there? You'll have to live with the regret that Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night that God knocked upon your heart's door, that you rejected Him. And I just believe it this way. The message that God got your attention will forever resonate through your mind, because you could have gotten saved if you just listened to the Word of God. I didn't get saved because I was in a Baptist church. I didn't get saved because my dad was a preacher. I didn't get saved because I was amongst a bunch of good people. I got saved because God sent a word by my heart. It pricked my heart and showed me that I was lost. And the best thing I did was step out and receive the Lord. This morning, these regrets that I made mention of is just a small sampling of what you will find in the Bible. But our Sunday school teacher this morning went over a man, or talked about a man that had no regret. You know what this man was saying is that I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. The Bible says that there was a blind man that sat by the wayside begging of alms. The Bible says that he sat there, he was blind from birth, and he had nobody to take care of him, so he was just a beggar sitting by the wayside. But one day, and he was just like you sitting here this morning, one day he heard that Jesus was passing by. Anybody else remember the day that you heard that Jesus was passing by in the midst of the church? People said, did the pastor get up and say, hey, church, Jesus is here? Did the choir director get up and say, church, we got Jesus in the midst with us? No, nobody had to tell us He was there. We felt the presence of the Lord Almighty in the house of God. And folks, even though we didn't have to have somebody to tell us, we knew that we was in a place of royalty, because the King of Kings had just come into the house of God. This man by the name of Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging of alms. When he heard that Jesus was close by, he did not take and wait for Jesus to get to where he was at. He had a need. Maybe he had heard that when Jesus was in that town before, there was some blind men that the Lord healed. You know, the Bible tells us in many passages of Scripture that everyone that had a need when he was in that town, he healed them all. Some of you today look at me and say, does the Bible really say that? Larry, it tells us that he healed everyone. As many that had a need, he healed every one of them. Maybe this day when he heard, the last time he was in town, maybe Bartimaeus didn't believe upon him. And when Jesus left town, Bartimaeus, when he heard about everybody else that had been set free, he sat there and he said, I regret that I didn't cry out to Jesus when he was in town, because these folks have received what they need and I'm still sitting here blind. But this time, he said, this fellow's not leaving town with me regretting that I didn't call upon him. Oh, help me close. The Bible says that he called out, Jesus, thou son of David. Maybe the first time, he didn't hear him over the crowd. So blind Bartimaeus just started crying out the more, the louder, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And just like the devil would have you to do this morning, those around him said, "Be quiet, he ain't got time for you. You're a nobody. He's got bigger and better things to do than come and see a poor blind man sitting by the wayside." But Bartimaeus didn't let that stop him. He said, "I told you, I'm not letting him leave town today and me regret it for maybe the rest of my life that I'm still blind." He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cry out yet another time, the more the loud, and see if I can't get his attention." And when he cried out, all of a sudden, Jesus told the caravan to stop. There's somebody in the midst that needs a help, somebody that needs a healing. Stop and let me go see who it is that's calling out. And he called for blind Bartimaeus. And he said, "What is it that you want me to do?" He said, "That I might receive my sight." Blind Bartimaeus had no regrets about making a commotion that day. In fact, if I could close this morning, he said, "Let me tell you, the best thing I ever did do is when they told me to shut up, I cried out the more the loud, 'Jesus, stop by my house,' and he gave me the sight that I had need of." I'm not letting him leave town today with any regrets on my part. Can I close this morning with this thought? This service is coming to an end. You've been in services before, services and services and services, and you've let them pass you by. And no doubt in the midnight hour, or maybe during the course of the day, when you're all by yourself, you say to yourself, "You know, I could have gotten saved the other Sunday. I could have gotten saved. I could have gotten right the other Wednesday. But I let that opportunity pass me by." And folks, there's a source, there's a feeling of regret that is there. And I do not want you to leave here today with that same feeling, because not just today, but you could leave here with regret that wouldn't just last a day or a week or a month, but it could stay with you for all eternity. That regret that you didn't get right when you went to the house of the Lord. Let me try to find a hushing place while Robin Sharon gets us a song. We have come here, church, for no other reason to try to get somebody to get the regret out of their life and get joy in their life this morning. You say, "Well, it's getting late, preacher. It's time that we get ready to go to the house." Let me just advise you to stick with us for a few minutes, because it's getting later than what you and I could think about today. Time is running out. The end is coming, and our lives are coming to an end. Folks, I don't want you to live eternity with regret that you didn't get right back in 2012 at the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. You say, "Well, if I thought that I could get right, I would take you up on your invitation and come and get right." Folks, these deacons can't make you right. I can't make you right. But does anybody else feel the witness of the Holy Spirit in the house of God? He can make you right this morning, not from the outside to the inside, but He will go on the inside and change you, and it will come to the outside. While we stand, and they sing a verse of a song of invitation. Moms and dads, before they start, Rob, before they even start, I don't want you to leave here with regret. But as much as I don't want you to leave here with regret, God the Father, God the Son, and He the Holy Spirit don't want you to leave here with regret. The church doesn't want to see you leave here with regret. And you say, "Well, these folks, some of them don't even know me." How many of you this morning would like to see somebody that has regret in their life come and get joy in their life? And people say, "Well, you folks got all kinds of troubles. What kind of joy can I get that I don't already have?" And folks, yes, in this world we all have troubles. But one thing I know that I know, that is if I, when I close my eyes for the last time, that I will not have to worry about dying and going to hell. There's a place in heaven that's reserved just for me. People say, "Oh, you get so excited about that." If we really look at what heaven has for us, folks, every one of us would be excited that we get to go to heaven when we come to the close of this life. And we want you to go with us. But not just do we want you to go, God wants you to go. The church wants you to go. The Son died on Calvary's cross so you could go. Don't be like Jeremiah said to his people in Babylon captivity. The harvest is past and the summer is ended and we're not saved. Can you feel the regret that's in that statement, in that verse? Then the rich man said, "Oh, Father Abraham, would you allow Lazarus just to tip his finger, dip it in water and bring it and lay it on my tongue, that I might be comforted in this place?" And there was no joy that was found. That regret just went on. And then finally he said, "Well, if he can't come to me, there's some people that I care about, Brother Wayne. I've got five brothers that I love back in yonder's world. Would you please send him and warn them not to come to this place?" Church, doesn't that spell regret all over it? Don't let them come to this place. This morning, not one soul has to die and go to hell. Jesus made a way so we all could escape. But every one of us has to choose for ourselves. You can leave here with joy, or you can leave here with regret. The choice is yours. While they sing this verse of a song, I ask you, what are you going to do with your opportunity? What are you going to do with your invitation? Are you going to let it pass you by? Yet another Sunday that you're going to leave. And I know the thoughts has to come to you during the week. What would happen if I was to die? I worry about Becky and the kids. Will they be taken care of? Will everything be provided for them if I was to leave? And don't get me wrong, Brother Jim, I'm packed up and ready this morning. But I worry what would happen if I was to leave. Surely people could walk past the coffin and they could pick at every decision I made, Bill, and they could find a fault with everything I did. But there's one thing that nobody can make a fault of, Sister Shirley, and that is that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him this morning? If you don't, I don't want to see you live with regrets. But we want you to live with joy. And if you'll come and receive the Lord, you'll have joy in spite of the trouble that the devil brings. Would you do that? One more verse, Rob. One more verse and chorus, and then we'll close. This morning, don't take that regret that you've lived with. God's blessed you. You've had a good life. The only thing missing in your life is knowing Jesus Christ. The only thing missing is you living a life that shows the world how good God's been to you. Don't allow the devil to capture your soul for all eternity in hell. But rather choose the Lord as your Savior. Yes. Amen and amen. I believe with all my heart today that that rich man down in hell and destruction, he didn't think about all the things that he did, no doubt, when he was back in this world. But I believe every soul that's in hell, you know what their thought is on? What they didn't do. What they didn't do. You say, well, they did everything it looked like it was right. What they didn't do was believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because He said, if you believe, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. This morning our hearts are saddened that God would bring a message about regrets. And folks would still walk away knowing that this could have been the day. See, if you know it could have been the day, then there's a regret that's there. Because you didn't step out and make it that day. But yet I don't want to leave you with bad news. I want to tell you that the Lord that talked to your heart this morning, He could talk to your heart this afternoon. We've got several in this church that was at home when they got saved. The Lord had dealt with their hearts, and at home they asked mom and dad, or they asked a friend, and maybe they asked a spouse to pray with them. And they got saved there at the house. You say, well, I thought I had to be in church to get saved. No, all you have to do is feel the drawing power of the Spirit of God. Recognize that you have sinned and ask God for forgiveness. And He'll save you. Remember our service tonight. I pray that some of you can come back tonight and tell us the good news that you got rid of all your regrets this afternoon and called upon the Lord. I pray that you'll come back tonight and be with us in our service. And come expecting great things to happen. Some might say, well, we're half of us are sick. But folks, when the Spirit of God comes by, it makes you just forget about all the other things around you. If you can get past what you're facing right now, God will bless you for your efforts. So remember our service tonight. Remember each other. Get you a good lunch. Get you a nap if you need it. And come back to be with us tonight. We've got business meeting following the service tonight. And don't let that worry you, because most of our business meetings are about 10 minutes. And I may be a little long in my estimate. If they can keep the pastor quiet, they go fast. I'll see you after church. But come back and be with us tonight and expect great things to happen in the house of the Lord. God bless you. We love you this morning, and we look forward to God blessing you and hearing about those that's lost getting saved. Let's go pray and come back praying.